This is holy ground. Praise God. He said everywhere your feet step, he'll make it holy ground. He'll bless you. He'll bless you. Oh, I'm proud of that. I'm happy about that. Let's pray, and we'll get started. I believe some more people will be coming in just a minute. But let's pray together. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you that we can pray to you. We can talk to you. We can communicate with you. We thank you. Oh, we thank you for the life you've given us and the things you're teaching us and the way you're bringing us up higher and higher and higher into your presence, into your glory. Oh, Father, we praise you and thank you that you have made our feet walk on holy ground because you are with us. Oh, we praise you. We thank you. We worship you. We adore you. Now tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you take complete control of this time together as we study your word and as we consider new things or old things. You said faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You didn't say necessary hearing new things, but you said by hearing. And our ears are open. Our eyes are open. Our hearts are attentive to hear new things. And that's what we desire from you, is to take us from glory to glory to glory to glory. We thank you and we expect this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was thinking about Moses when he came down off of Mount Sinai. Said his face shone. He'd been in the presence of God for 40 days. And so he put a little cloth or a little veil over his face to keep from bothering people. And then when he was speaking for the Lord, he would remove the veil and he'd put it back. Well, we can be that same way. We can have that glory even on our countenance as well as in our hearts and our words. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about something that we probably know a lot about already. And that is that we are forgiven. Thank you, Lord. We're forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. Now, not too long ago, I don't remember when, I began to have a revelation about this. I know my sins are forgiven, right? But my experience was I would remember my own failings, remember my sins. Oh, do you remember when you lost your temper? I remember when I lost mine. Do you remember when you made a bad decision? Do you remember when things were bad? And those events would play over and over and over in my mind. For example, I'd drive down the street in Dallas and I'd think, oh, I remember going to that restaurant. What a disaster that was. I remember going to this store. And oh, that just didn't work out. And I remember when I was with my mother and I spoke sharply to her, and I wish I hadn't. And so my life was so filled with regret and disappointment of myself. And if somebody had said, well, you're forgiven, I'd say, yeah, I know, but. And those things would play over and over and over and over, year after year in my mind. Most of the people that they involved had gone on to better lives or else they'd gone to heaven. But still my mind played them over and over and over. My family member had an issue and I wasn't there to help them. Oh, how I wish I had been there. Oh, how I regret that. Oh, my mother didn't have enough money for a necessity. Oh, if only I had had the money and I could have helped her. You know, regret after regret after regret. And finally, the Lord began to speak to me about being forgiven. Let's see what my next slide is. The Lord said, when you know you're forgiven, so when were you forgiven? And so I wanted to discuss that with you. There are various thoughts about this. Some people believe that they are forgiven when they invite Jesus to be their Savior, when they're saved. That's when they're forgiven. But I want to go deeper than that. When was the forgiveness done? What's in my next slide? Colossians 2, 13 and 14 says, "And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." He forgave me all trespasses. Go to the next verse, please. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." And so I began to think about this, and I said, well, I think Jesus paid the price for me to be forgiven when he was hanging on the cross. And you know, he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. He said, it says that all of my sin, Isaiah says, all of our sin was laid on him. And go back to the previous one, honey. Thank you. So he made us alive, having forgiven you all trespasses or all sins or all iniquities or whatever word you want to use there, all failings. All failings. And go back to the next verse, please. And the way he did it, there was handwriting against you. Where? Where was that handwriting? It was in heaven. There's a book with my name on it, I believe, and it lists everything I've ever done. Everything I've ever thought. Now, here's the cool thing to me. Jesus died, let's say it was 30 A.D. or 33 A.D. I don't know the exact year. But I do know I wasn't born then. I had not been conceived. My parents weren't born. My grandparents weren't born. And so what he did when he died on the cross is God looked in the future to me and you. And he said, all the sin they're ever going to commit, I'm wiping it out. He wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. And he took it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. I think I have a picture here. I do. There's Jesus on the cross. And my sin, even though I hadn't been born yet, even though I hadn't committed a single sin, all of my sin was laid on Jesus. It was all on him. You believe that? Amen. Me too. My sin was laid on him. I keep thinking of that verse in Isaiah. Is that 53? All we like sheep have gone astray. Whew. Be good if I had remembered to bring my Bible, wouldn't it? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned to our own way. And all of our sin has been laid on him, the iniquity of us all. He carried the sin, my sin and your sin, and he carried the sin of everyone who had ever been born and whoever was going to be born. Jesus died for every sin. Now that's kind of a biggie, because there are some people who believe when they're saved, Jesus forgives all the sins that they have committed so far. But now, after I'm saved and I sin, I need to ask him to forgive me for those sins. But it says in the Bible that he forgave all trespasses. What's our next slide say? Hebrews 1, 3 and 4. Here's the thing. Jesus died on the cross. They took his body down. They put his body in the tomb, wrapped it in the grave clothes. But what happened to his spirit? His soul and his spirit. When he died, it says in the Bible, he, not his body, but he went into the belly of the earth. And there he bore the punishment. He didn't just carry our sins to the cross and that was it. No, for 3 days and three nights, he bore the punishment of the sin. The devil punished him. Because, see, God is a very righteous judge. Sin is committed. Sin has to be paid for. We went to the store today, Ace Hardware, and on the door are pictures of people. Javon said, why are those pictures of people on the door? I didn't know. I went back over to check. It says, have you seen these people? They're shoplifters. You see, God is that way. When a sin has been committed, it has to be paid for. The person has to be punished. And so Jesus took my punishment those 3 days and three nights. He took yours. He took yours. He took the punishment for the whole world. And then God himself, Romans chapter 8, verse 11, says he raised Jesus from the dead. The punishment is over. It's finished. No more punishment. And then, Jesus, you remember, the women went to the tomb. They were going to anoint his body as was required, but they couldn't do it yet because of all the holidays and all the feast days. So they went to anoint his body, and he wasn't there. His body wasn't there. And Mary Magdalene, you know, she was just torn up about it, and she was crying and weeping, and she was almost blinded by her tears. And she saw a man. She thought it was the gardener. She said, please, sir, tell me where you've moved his body so that I can go and worship. And the man she thought was the gardener said, Mary. She recognized his voice. She said, Jesus, Jesus. And he said, don't touch me, Mary. I have not yet been ascended to my Father. I'm going to my God and your God, and I'm coming back. So tell everybody I'll meet them in Jerusalem. And he disappeared. Well, where did he go? He went into heaven. And this is what happened. Who, that's Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins. Now, we don't use that word purged much anymore. It's kind of an old English word. But he washed, he cleansed, he took away our sins. Now he has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. See, the effect, the punishment of sin is over. When he was raised from the dead and went into heaven, he carried his blood, his precious blood, into the mercy seat and put his blood on the mercy seat and said, Father, I've satisfied the requirement of punishment. I took it so they don't have to take it. Ooh, how wonderful. Praise the Lord. Having become so much better than the angels, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And Hebrews chapter 1 talks us about this great ceremony and this great coronation. Jesus has come back from the dead. Jesus has defeated the enemy. Jesus defeated Satan. He defeated the devil. And he took the keys of death and hell. And he went into heaven victorious. And all of heaven, it wasn't done in secret, all of heaven bowed before the Father and Jesus. Wow, for what he did. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Now, we have a word forgive. We know what that means. In the Bible, there's a word remit. And the word remit is not used, I looked it up, not used even one time in the Old Testament. But remit means to forgive completely, never to remember again. Now, I forgive, but then it pops up again. You see their face at night, or you see them at the store, or you see them somewhere, and you think, oh, I remember. Oh, no, I forgive them, but I remember what they did. Well, that's got to be washed out of me. That's got to be cleansed out of me. If God forgave, if God remitted, if God forgave them completely, never to remember it again, I have to too. Now here's the point I was getting to. I was pretty good at forgiving other people, but I could not forgive myself. I couldn't. I should have known better. I shouldn't have made that mistake. I shouldn't have sinned. I shouldn't have caused this problem. I shouldn't have made this decision. Oh, 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 oh. I couldn't forgive. I'm talking about totally forgive. I could say, oh, I forgive myself, and oh, it would pop back up again the next time I drove by that restaurant or the next time I was in that geographical location. I said, oh, no, oh, no. I remember what I did. I remember what I said. I remember what I should have done or should have said. Oh, 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 oh. I wasn't forgiving. I didn't allow my sin to be remitted from myself. Now, in the Old Testament, the word is atone, which means cover. And we're coming up later in October to the Day of Atonement. And that's a special day in Jewish history, in Jewish culture. That's the day that the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the mercy seat was. He was allowed to go in there one day a year. And his purpose of going was to offer a sacrifice and ask God to atone or forgive the sins of the whole nation for a year. For a year, atone for a year. And then the next year, the high priest atoned for a year. The next year, and there's a big process and we don't need to go into that. But it was only, their sin was only covered. You could dig it back up. You could throw back the covers and find it. Well, the word in the New Testament is remit. No more covering. It is gone, baby. Let's see the next scripture. Matthew 28:26, Jesus talks about it. And he's at the Last Supper. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission, not atonement of sins, the remission of sins, the complete doing away with sin. Next one, please. Mark 1:4, John the Baptist, came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. John the Baptist understood Jesus' purpose here was to totally get rid of all sin. Next one, Acts 2:28, Peter said, now he's preaching, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. These people had never heard the word remission. They didn't know the concept of remission. They just knew atonement. Our sin covered. He said, no, God wants to do away with your sin. That's the message of Jesus, and Peter was preaching that too. Your sins can be totally wiped away, done away with, never to remember it again. Amen. Acts 10:43, to him and all the prophets witness that through Jesus' name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. That's what happened when you received Jesus as Savior. Your sins remitted, gone, over, finished. Amen. Hebrews 10:18, now where there's remission of these, there's no longer an offering for sin. So when sin has been remitted, nothing else needs to be done. If I go over to John and I say, this is an example only, I say, I'm mad at you, and I punch him in the nose, and later I say, I am so sorry. I don't know what came over me. I took it out on you, and I am so sorry. And he says, that's okay. But the next day, he says, I want you down on your hands and knees scrubbing this floor. I said, why? Because you hit me in the nose. And the next day, he says, I want you to wash all the windows. And I say, why? Because you hit me in the nose. You see, he's getting me to pay, an example only. He's getting me to pay and pay and pay and pay and pay and pay. That is not remission. That's what the devil does. He wants us to pay over and over. I hit John in the nose, and I'll never be forgiven. We'll have to divorce because I'm not good with those tasks like that. And then he'll get on to me for divorcing. You see what his attitude is, to try to destroy us. Amen. But God says, I have remitted your sin. You don't have to give me an offering to try to pay for your forgiveness. You don't have to try to do something to pay for what you've done wrong. You don't have to pay back. You don't have to. It's over. It's done. It's remitted. Whew. Amen. Let's go to the next slide, please. Jesus remitted your sin. He forgave. He forgave to the point that it's over. Next slide, please. Psalm 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west. I've seen that globe. And you go east, and you go east, and you go east, and you pass Hawaii, and now you're going west. And you go, east and west are never going to meet. Amen? As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Oh, hallelujah. In other words, they can't be found. Next slide, please. Micah 7:19. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. I've been watching National Geographic every once in a while, and they're talking about what is in the bottom of the ocean. The things they're saying, I guess they have maps and instruments and stuff, but they're saying there are mountains under the ocean, higher than the mountains on the surface, that there are valleys and crevices and deep places higher than you can find and deeper than you can find on the surface. So if he puts your sins into the depths of the sea, they cannot be found. Amen? Come in, ladies, come in. Praise the Lord. We were just saying that our sins are totally removed. As far as the east is from the west, they've been cast into the depths of the sea. In other words, God is trying to use natural examples to show us our sins are gone, gone, gone. Next slide, please. Romans 4:7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Now, this is a quote from King David. Go to the next slide, please. King David said, Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. So if you want to know if you're blessed or not, if you want to have some kind of proof or evidence of the blessing God has for you, you're blessed because your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You're blessed because your sins are forgiven. Oh, hallelujah. Do you remember when you first preached that? I heard that. I heard it so clearly. I am blessed because my sins are forgiven. What a wonderful place to be. I'm not, it's not because I have everything I want or have every desire fulfilled. It's not because I have this or have that or don't have this and don't have that. My blessing is based on the fact that I am forgiven of all sin forever. Next slide, please. Hebrews 9:12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with Jesus' own blood, he entered the most holy place once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Now, that's what I'm talking about. In the Old Testament, that high priest had to go in the Holy of Holies every year, once a year, the Day of Atonement, and cover the sin of the people. But Jesus went in how many times? Once, for all of us and for all sin. He only had to do this one time. Jesus doesn't have to be crucified every year or every 10 years or every 100 years or every 1,000 years. Once was enough. And he took our sin and we are forgiven and we have obtained eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. God doesn't say, oh, I like you today, you're redeemed. Oh, I don't like you tomorrow, you're not redeemed. Oh, the next day, oh, you went to church, and that's good. You did taught children's church. That's good. Oh, today you told a lie. Out of it. In, out, in, out. There are some churches that believe you lose your salvation like that. Today you're saved, tomorrow you're not. Next day you are, the next day you're not. But this verse says, apply it if you want to. He went once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Next slide. Hebrews 10:10. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. How many times? Once for all. Once for all. You've been set apart. You've been made holy. Once for all because of that offering that Jesus Christ made of his body. Amen. Next slide. Acts 13:38, therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sins. That's what we're talking about. Your sin is forgiven. My sin is forgiven. When was it forgiven? When Jesus died on the cross. But wait, I wasn't born. I hadn't committed any sin. God looked ahead. God looked ahead and he said, I'm forgiving all of your sin. In fact, I believe God forgave all the sin of everybody in the world. Next slide. Acts 26:18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. See, over and over, Jesus, over and over, Paul, Peter, Silas, James, John, over and over, these men preached forgiveness of sins. See, people had not heard that before. Their false god, or even when they were Jews and worshiped the one true God, they didn't know anything about this complete forgiveness, this individual forgiveness. God had dealt with them as a nation. When the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he didn't say, okay, this is for Susie, and this is for Jack, and this is for... No, he did it for the nation. We, individually... Individually, our sins are forgiven. He doesn't do it by groups. He does it individually. God wants an individual relationship, and sin was in the way. Sin was in the way. So God wanted a relationship with Marvina, and sin was in the way, and he said, I'm going to remove the barrier. I'm going to crush it with the blood of Jesus. And now, we can have a relationship. Marvina didn't do it. God did it. Marvina didn't have to do something except receive it. And Jesus did it. Next. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Our sins have been forgiven. I know I say it over and over. I know I have scripture after scripture after scripture. But I'm telling you, open your heart. Don't have that attitude of, I know this. Open your heart and let the Holy Spirit tell you what it really means to be forgiven, to have forgiveness of sins. Excuse me. Colossians 1:14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Next. I think it's 1 John 2:12. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, let me get to the last point, and that is, when do you receive it? You see, God has done all he had to do to forgive the sins of everyone in the world, but not everyone in the world is forgiven. Let me say that again. God has done all he needs to do to forgive the sins of the whole world. But not everyone in the world is forgiven. Because not everyone in the world has received forgiveness. I can stand here with $100 bills ready to give out to you. And those that receive it get the $100. And those that don't. It's receive, it's take. God has done everything to forgive the sins of the world. The handwriting has been removed. We went through that scripture earlier. The handwriting has been erased that was against the whole world. Now, each individual has to receive it. So I can tell you where I was when I received Jesus as my Savior. He took all my sin. Now, you heard my testimony earlier. He took my sin, but I kept punishing myself for my sin. I could forgive other people pretty good, but I kept punishing myself. If only I had done this, or if only I had not done that, or said this, or done this, made this decision, went to this place. Oh, why did I let somebody talk me into that? Or why did I decide that was a good idea when it was not a good idea? And I would beat myself up and regret and cry and weep because I didn't allow God to forgive my sin to me. You see what I'm saying? I know he forgave it on his side, but I didn't receive it on my side. And the Lord began to deal with me, and he said, I have forgiven every one of your sin. I said, well, then how come I have to repent and ask you to forgive me? He said, that's for your sake. That's to cleanse your conscience. You know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He said, that's for your sake. You repent for your sake. I've already cleansed you. I've already forgiven you. It's already over for me. I've remitted it. It's gone. It's forgotten. If you remind me of your sin, I won't remember. But you repent for your sake, to cleanse yourself, to solidify your belief that God has forgiven me from the worst thing to the little bitty thing that no one even knows about. It's all forgiven, and I receive that forgiveness. I receive it now. I receive it in total. And as I know of things that I need to repent from, I repent and let God cleanse me of those too. Amen? You know, there are some people that believe if someone commits suicide, they can't go to heaven. And the reason they believe that is if a person commits suicide, they don't have time to repent for the sin of killing themselves, the sin of murder. Right? They don't have time. I mean, they're dead. And so they're miserable. But I say, no, it's already forgiven. No, you don't have time to say, I repent, because you're dead. But that's not the thing that will separate you from God. The only thing that separates you from God is if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I pray in Jesus' name that everyone receives Jesus. Everyone receives Jesus. We had a testimony. We were in Oklahoma Saturday, and this couple had been praying for their 3 sons, and one went on to heaven, and the other two, weren't sure they were Christians. They raised them in church, but as soon as they got away, they went off, and one said, I'm an agnostic. One said, I'm a, I don't know, not a Christian. And so the testimony was, one of them had called and said, I believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to go to church every time the door opens like you do. And that was a great testimony to them that God had answered their prayer, that God has saved their son. They were so excited. One more to go. One's in heaven, one saved, one more to go. So, it is our desire, it is our wish that all will receive the salvation that Jesus offers. The sins forgiven. I believe every sin of every person was hung on Jesus. And he forgave them all. He paid the price. He was the sacrifice. It's over. It's done. It's complete. The sin's remitted. But now it's up to us to receive the forgiveness. Not just temporarily, receive it forever. Think of the worst thing that you might have done or known of in your life. That's forgiven and it's over. How would we not be blessed? How would we not be rejoicing? Amen? Amen. So, do you think I got the point across, John? As I'm pounding it home here. I want you to know you're forgiven. I don't want you to sit home and wallow around in something you did wrong. Maybe 1 minute or maybe 20 years ago. Don't allow that to be brought up to you again. You are forgiven. God has forgiven you. Jesus died on the cross and you are forgiven. So don't allow the misery and the torment of that to come into your life anymore. That leads to depression. That leads to sorrow. That leads to despair. And we are not of those who are in despair. We are those who are alive. Amen? You have something to say? Okay. There's one.
They're mine now.
Yes, they're your earrings now. I think he's trying to make the point that our sin is over. I can't keep saying, those are my earrings. He says, no, I paid for them.
Jesus' blood paid for my sin, though not mine no more.
Amen. Amen. Jesus' blood paid for your sin. You can't claim it anymore. You can't say, well, I'm a bad person. Well, I just don't make good decisions. Well, I'm getting old. Well, things aren't working. Well, I'm breaking down. My mind's breaking down. My body's breaking down. No, that's all forgiven and that's all cleansed. So go ahead and receive what God has given you. This is such a powerful, powerful, powerful thing. It changed my life. Because I had spent so much time feeling sorry, feeling sad, regretting. Regret was not my middle name. It was my first name. I spent so much time regretting. And God showed me it's forgiven. It is forgiven. It's forgiven. I'm forgiven. Say that with me. I'm forgiven of all my sin that I committed from birth to now. And now till I go to heaven, I'm forgiven already. In Jesus' name, I receive it. Oh, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, we want to pray while we're talking to you. We want to thank you for what you did with Irma. Oh, Lord, that was predicted to be so devastating, and you took care of it all. We thank you. We praise you for that, Lord. We praise you and thank you, worship you. You are truly God. You are truly King of Kings. You're truly Lord of Lords. You are truly the great I Am. You are truly the source of all that we need. You are our protector. And if you'll do this, what will you not do for us? We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.